Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
Hello!
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 Hello! Welcome to another episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I am your King Baby Duck.
Nipples. I mean Blue Onyx.
And this is Anvil.
Yep, we are just gearing up for another fun episode here. We got plenty to discuss. Some good fights, some movies, some video games. I think we're going to have a little bit of a roller coaster of fun here, wouldn't you say?
I happen to agree, and then we're also going to talk about some music that you picked up today.
Well, I haven't got a chance to listen to any of this music yet, but...
Shut up, you listen to it.
No, I haven't yet.
Shut up, you listen to it.
I just unwrapped it, dude.
Yeah, but you read, you know, the album, and you officially know that these vinyls carry blood.
Okay,
okay.
You know we don't condone unwrapping it.
Okay. So... Today, as we're recording this, it's Record Store Day. One of my favorite days in, like, the music world. It's when, like, all the big independent record store chains, like, come together, and they release special albums that are limited to, I think the maximum is 2,000, and then you will not be able to find any more copies anywhere of them.
Unless it's some asshole on eBay that's trying to sell it for, like, a couple grand.
Right.
What? No.
But see, they won't be making any more of these
albums. See, now, the thing that I got is, like... Friday, of course, was 420, so you had, you know, a national pothead day, seeing that it doesn't make any sense because everybody who's a pothead, they fucking can't remember the last time they smoked weed, so they smoke weed every day. next to that...
Yeah, but remember, today, 421, is National Drug Test Day.
Yeah, but too bad it's on a Saturday, so then now they got a couple days to get that out of their system, so then they can take care of the piss test on Monday. But
yep.
For the most part... Why isn't there, like, a national, like, teabag a hot girl day or something like that? It's just like, give me a fucking break here. This crap sucks. It's either really, like, negative or it's really positive. I mean, on the History Channel for 420, it's National Hitler Day or something like that because it's his birthday. They're like, oh, let's see how much World War II shit we can fit in 24 hours.
You know, I did
History Channel, we love Hitler.
Well, I
mean,
wrong. You know, I was reading an article, like, you know, people sit there and like, oh, it's Hitler's birthday, blah, 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 you know, support Hitler. And it's like, let's go get high.
Yeah.
So we can forget.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, because it's Hitler's birthday, everybody gets high so they forget he was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Really? Is that your way of justifying it?
Yeah, it's a way to justify it to get high. That is, apparently it's a more peaceful way, even though that I feel that people that do drugs and stuff like that, it makes them even dumber.
I have a friend who woke up at 4 in the morning for her to do the whole...
420?
Yeah, the whole 420 thing.
Yes, so smoked twice.
Right. And apparently she had this, like, sort of bong that was, like, so powerful. If you took one puff, it would, like, knock you out.
So she slept the whole fucking day and woke back up at 420 and knocked her ass back out again.
Probably.
Fucking brilliant. I love these people.
I think she called the zero gravity bong.
Oh my fucking head. I don't even want to know. I just, you know what? Fuck that. You know what? Let's just keep going.
Hey kiddies, say no to drugs.
Yeah, drugs are bad.
Stay in school.
See,
I'll come kick your ass.
I don't have any issue with, like, the potheads that don't do it 24/7.
I have an issue with kind of like the fact that the guys who do pot that are basically potheads, they're fucking freeloading douchebags.
So you hate freeloading douchebags?
I hate freeloading douchebags. And most of them are like pothead, druggy fucking friends that, you know, like, I remember having a party one time and I got like fucking 8 pizzas and one of the guys was a big giant douchebag. He grabbed one of the pizzas, sat in the corner and ate the whole fucking thing for himself. And he didn't pay a fucking dime. Fuck that guy.
Well, thankfully, the potheads that I know
Anvil,
aren't like
it
that.
Wasn't you. It was back in the day when we knew of each other, but not of each other.
Okay, because I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm not a pothead.
No. This is...
And I usually give money.
This is the tall, goofy bastard that everybody knows. Let's just put it
that way. Tall, goofy bastard.
Tall, goofy bastard. Which one?
We'll
talk about it later. Anyways.
So anyway, on Record Store Day, a lot of people...
Fucking potheads.
A lot of big artists, a lot of indie artists, they release vinyl recordings of, like, some special stuff, like rare items or live concerts. So, and
now, what fucking album that you're talking about that there's actual DNA?
Yeah.
So apparently now we could actually, like, do a crime scene and make it look like they did something.
Okay, so that album is The Flaming Lips and Heady Fwens. That's Friends with an F-W.
Fwens?
Fwens. And I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but listen to the people who are on this album. Kesha, Biz Markie, Bon Iver, Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, Jim James, Nick Cave, Lightning Bolt, Yoko Ono and the Plastic Ono Band, Neon Indian, Erykah Badu, and Chris Martin of Coldplay.
And like I said, potheads. Anyways.
Me. I'm on it.
No, you're not.
What do you mean? I'm sitting on it right now.
If you were actually sitting on it, I'd have to kick your ass, dude, because that's a rare album.
Wait, ladies and gentlemen, we're now taking bets on how long it'll take before the duck shouting
to go
the
run,
leg.
Run and see where the disc is.
It's in the bag over there, I see it.
He will completely shatter his leg trying to kick my ass.
So I got this album here. I also got The Stooges, live at All Tomorrow's Parties, where they perform Raw Power in its entirety, as well as a bunch of other songs, like I Want to Be Your Dog in 1970. And I also bought a vinyl single from Amanda Palmer with I forget the full orchestra band that she works with on this one, though.
And then how about, did you grab that garbage one?
No, I didn't grab the garbage one. Okay. I was thinking about it, but then I realized it's just that one song, and it's going to be on the new record when it comes out next month.
Anyway. Yeah, they've been playing that a lot on the radio, and I was kind of, because of the way the song goes, I was kind of like, this sounds like her singing, but I'm like, this isn't one of their songs. Whatever happened to Happy When It Rains or some kind of shit? It's supposed to be negative.
Well,
negative in a positive light.
If you've ever seen the music video, it's fucked up.
Well, so. Yeah, of course
it is.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not the band fucked up.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, for the most part, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you know, the way that they used to do stuff, they change. I mean, Bush kind of came back, and now they're doing that, you know, they're bringing it back.
Right. But that happens, you know, when a band gets together and they try to do something different. But
I'm sorry, but I have to say I did miss Bush. Bush. That was like, I'm happy that
Devin Rossdale. Devin Rossdale was one of the most underappreciated frontmen. I'm sorry, but it's absolute true.
You missed Bush?
No, not that Bush, not George W. Bush. This is the band Bush. Bush.
Oh, okay.
You know, God, a machine head.
Yeah.
That guy.
Never heard of him.
The one that's going out
sex
with
sex in your violence.
No, the one that's going out with Gwen Stefani. Well, actually married, isn't it?
Yeah, married to Gwen Stefani.
They got a kid.
Married with children.
Yes.
Apparently so, but for the most part, yeah, like, that was one of those bands that I missed the most, you know, next to Garbage, and
right
now I'm still missing System of a Down. But
they are performing a couple live shows.
I don't give a shit that they're performing live shows. I want my fucking new CD and a whole tour. I want a whole thing. I don't want this how Rage Against the Machine has been beating around the bush, too. More or less, like, you know.
I know, it's like contradicting. Zach De La Rocca says, oh, we're totally recording
and we're working on music, and then Tom Morell is like, friggin', no, we're not. I'm working on my other stuff.
I'm working on Night Watchmen. I'm a one man. I'm a one man army. One man army.
That, or he's doing something with Street Sweeper Social Club, I think.
They haven't even released anything in a couple of years.
Yeah, but.
I want more Street Sweeper.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it would, you know, help with the System of a Down, Rage Against the Machine drought. Because I like Street Sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the ones who kill people.
I was still wondering about the whole fact that because when we went and saw the Ninja concert, I still can't believe that Nine Inch Nails
went on second
before friggin' Jane's Addiction, and that pissed me off because when Jane's Addiction came out, the potheads came out in full force. I mean, there was 360 degrees of potheads, and even the fact that there was the mother daughter in front of us that, like, they kicked out their fucking, their bag of weed and started rolling up a doobie right in front of us. And we're like, what the fuck?
Drugs bring people together.
Hey, this doesn't go from generation to generation. Honey, here, smoke this. No, it's one of those, you know, and then when when you know, Jane's Addiction came out, he looked like he...
He wasn't there.
He didn't even know what the fuck he was doing. He just came out.
He looked like he had dementia.
He did a little stupid little, like... He had what? The Queen... What's his name?
Freddie Mercury. Freddie Mercury would have been like, okay, I wouldn't wear that.
Yeah, he had, like, the Freddie Mercury wear, basically. Yeah, and then he just came out and just did that. The only thing that was good was the guitarist, and he... You know when he comes out on the stage that... He does well.
It's just... God damn it, what's his name? The one who was married to Carmen Electra briefly. Dave Navarro.
I was about to say Dennis Rodman. No, I'm just kidding. But he's not a guitarist. But no, for the most part, it's one of those things where there's certain bands that, you know, you wish would come back. I mean, I thought Soundgarden might be coming back or something.
Well, yeah, they're back together.
Yeah, so I'm kind of happy to hear about that.
You know who I hope comes back and, you know, goes back to the, you know, good old music?
What?
Jimi Hendrix.
Well, let's put it this way.
We brought back Tupac to
the day. Yeah, we can bring back Tupac that way. We could definitely do it that. We could just have them, you know, do... that was basically... The way they had that done is the way that the Gorillaz do their concerts anyways.
Right.
Like, they have animated versions come up.
I'm sorry, but I felt like this was the way that they should have ended Coachella.
Yeah, with the whole setup of the Ghostbusters shooting at him with lasers. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of scary that, you know, the fact that they had him. And it almost did. It was pretty real. It was, you know, but I think what they did was...
I mean, it's the same technology that the Japanese used for Hatsune Miku, that Japanese Vocaloid 3D animated.
Well, next to that, they used the same setup for video games. So what they did was they had some guy that kind of had the same body mass as him,
mm-hmm.
and they had, you know, they probably put on the sensors, and they recorded him dancing around, doing the movements and the singing and all that other stuff,
yep.
And then what they did was they just... did that movement, and then Snoop Dogg just did it, like, they figured out the timing and whatnot, and they just did it with the timing, and that's how they did it, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic how they do it.
It's pretty impressive how they were able to do that, but also I was kind of surprised that he was able to, you know, say other words than just the song, like, that he did.
Right,
he
what's up, Coachella?
Yeah, he was just like, what's up, Coachella? And it's like, okay, yeah.
Oh, it could have been a really, really good impersonator, of course, but it did sound like Tupac.
Yeah, so...
You're not...
TMZ, I have to say TMZ was fucked up for what they did.
What?
TMZ was like, oh yeah, they had, you know, Tupac come out and, you know, do a whole sing and dance with Snoop Dogg and blah, 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 this and that. And then they had a fake Biggie Smalls come out and shoot him with an AK, and it showed Biggie Smalls holding an AK, and I went... And then... apparently he went into a mist and disappeared, and all the people that weren't doing drugs were all pissed off or something like that, or the people who were doing drugs were like, oh my god, Tupac's a zombie, oh no, now he's a ghost or something. I was like, oh great,
yeah.
Fuck TMZ.
You see, I've heard that they're actually going to bring that on tour. They're going to do another Up in Smoke tour. Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem. And they're gonna bring the Tupac and Nate Dogg as well.
I'm sorry, but how are they? Now it
still
just
too soon for Nate Dogg,
it just
though.
Feels like, you know, with with Puff Daddy, he's gonna have to go and have to one up this somehow. He's gonna have to do it with a chocolate fountain or something else with it because of the fact of that's how he is. He's gotta figure out to do something one up because he's gonna do the whole East Side West Side thing, you know, it's gonna be the verses again, and somebody's gonna get killed, and again. Somebody's gonna end up being on the goddamn, you know, the hologram now.
But, hologram shooting other holograms.
Yeah, Jesus, this is just bad. But I mean,
it's awesome though.
I think, yeah, okay, it is awesome to bring him back and make it look like he's still alive.
I really wanted to see him do this to see Gorillaz. I wanted them to do this with Gorillaz. Have them go on tour like this.
That's so not cool, Duck.
Why?
You should not be promoting the hologram on hologram violence.
Sure we should. It's not the Holocaust.
And it's not... And, you know, no one's really going to get killed over hologram on hologram violence.
Yeah, it's just going to be a video game. It's going to be like Mortal Kombat.
Tupac wins! Fatality!
I believe there was already that fatality.
It was just East versus West, so it has, like, you know, the whole set.
It's going to be Def Jam Vendetta all over again.
You tour.
What a great episode.
Yo, instead of going to hell like most people, you tour just going to live with his mom forever.
Yeah, that you know what? That's the thing. I think I am in purgatory already. Because, you know, we have to deal with bringing the duck out to public, which we shouldn't do anymore.
I know.
Unless there's really a string attached to him. We got to get those, like, the kitty string attached thing and put it on him. So every time he runs around, we got to just pull him down.
Can I tell the story to everybody?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, before we did the show, we saw the movie and we decided to go to get a bite to eat.
So we're at Fuddruckers.
So, we're over at Fuddruckers eating. And there's a bunch of little children running around.
And there's
the Cub Scouts.
People are walking around in these yellow shirts. And I had to ask the hippie woman that was next to me in, like, the tie-dye shirt. I was like, hey, you guys a cult? And she's just like, no, we're just a Cub Scout thing. I was like, okay, cult, I gotcha.
And I go, not quite. And then all of a sudden the duck starts swearing in front of the children.
He's like, remember when we were at campfire? That shit was crap. It was bullshit. It was like, dude, children.
Wait. And then, bullshit, which, mind you, bullshit is a PG word. It was said in the Disney movie Heavyweights with Ben Stiller and Kenan Thompson. Thank you, good night.
Actually, little Mexican child. That was before they got strict on those words. Because that movie was made in the early 1990s.
1994.
Like I said, early. And then he sits there. He's like, and then there was this fly little shark. She bent over with a fat ass hanging out of her pit. He's like, I went over and gave her the hoochie coochie. And
we're bullshit, like, that was you. That was you. That was you. You were looking at the dude with the kilt.
What?
No, there was a wildebeest. You didn't see the wildebeest?
You didn't see her?
I did not see the wildebeest.
No, okay, so where we were sitting at, the angle from where you were, when you turned around, you were only seeing the guy in the kilt. If you looked at the other window behind you, directly behind you, you would have seen, like, my mom? Almost my mom, basically.
There was a lowrider truck that came rolling in.
And that's when she got out and poof.
No, wait. So two people climb on this. She climbs out and want to be in Gravedigger.
Yeah. For a second, I thought that's a diabolical bitch.
It's a play on words, that title.
How's your nostrils?
There are tissues in the bathroom if you need them. But anyway, Record Store Day is an awesome day to support your indie record stores and buy some really cool and rare vinyls. Because, like, I've been saying it for a long time, and it's finally true. Vinyl is back.
No.
Like new
vinyl is black.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Not the one that he was showing us earlier.
No, blind learned.
No, that was the blood one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those are the blood ones.
It's a different color, but it makes blood with
it. Let's just put it this way now. Like, because of the audio quality factor from the
180 actual, gram, it's better than CD.
It's actually better than CD and digital, I mean, to the point where, you know, if you could go and buy a record player now at, like, Bed Bath & Beyond for, like, a, you know, under, like, $100 or something, or you could even get, you could find an old turntable and turn that into a sound player. But a lot of these new ones, you have it so you can actually hook up into your computer by either USB or whatever.
And
other,
it keeps the
and you can actually, no, it also, you can just, it records or transfers the data over
but
to
it
the,
doesn't scratch your vinyl like the old ones used to.
Yeah, right. It doesn't fuck it up as bad.
Right. Because last year when I did this Record Store Day, I got the Davidstown vinyl, which was like a precursor to Fucked Up's David Comes to Life. And what Fucked Up did was, they and a bunch of friends recorded under 11 different pseudonyms. So 11 different bands. With 11 different sounds. Yes, pseudonyms.
Pseudonyms are French.
Cinnamon.
So 11 fake bands, and it made it sound like a record from, like, the late 1970s in England, and it was awesome. And so this year I got that Flaming Lips one, I got the Stooges one, and I got the Amanda Palmer single.
Okay. Shall we go with music now?
Yeah.
I said sports.
Well, I was there.
Sports!
Shut up! I'm telling them what I bought. I got two movies. National Treasure 1 and 2.
Is that... So that's technically three movies that you bought. Because you said you bought two movies. You said National Treasure 1 and 2, and then the other one you bought.
I didn't buy another one.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
You bought a magnet.
It was number 1 and number 2, and then I bought a magnet.
That probably ruined the disc.
Because I do mixed martial arts, and I have a nephew, and we do arts and crafts. So there's a picture of three ninjas doing arts and crafts. It says mixed martial arts and crafts. It was funny.
You're so gay.
Fuck you, okay, bitch. Okay, fine.
I'm sorry for the whole gay comment. You're so stupid. Stupid.
Hey, I may be stupid, but you retarded.
I'm fucking... Wait, I'm definitely... Wait, I'm very special because of the fact now I've got a degree.
There you go. Wait.
That makes me just that more retarded. Less
That's it. I'm doing it.
Okay, hold on. Retarded.
Oh, fuck you. Stop. I got you. See, Duck, you blocked me from using our old word, retarded.
Retarded. I forgot about that word. Speaking of which, one of the tracks on that Flaming Lips album is called Helping the Retarded to Find God.
Oh.
And there's I'm working at NASA on acid.
Oh, wait. I actually did my favorites list on my phone because thanks to Blue over here, he gave me a bunch of songs and there's a bunch of religious people that wouldn't leave me alone on the train, and one of the songs kept on saying there is no God. So I played it for them and they left me alone.
I think I should have gave you Marilyn Manson's God is Dead. Then they would be really pissed.
No, I thought that was Rock is Dead.
No, God is Dead. No one cares. Or is that Nine Inch Nails? Either
one. No, it's Nine Inch Nails.
I'm trying to think of the band that performs it. I'm trying to think of the band that performed that song.
Is it the one I gave you?
Yeah, you gave me that song.
Okay. There's a lot of music I like.
It's that's yes, Turner.
No, I don't doubt that, man. Anyways, you can figure it out later. So, for the most part, let's go back to sports.
Okay.
Right now, the Bruins are on.
Yeah, let me check the score.
First intermission.
Still
nothing.
God damn it! See, this is what's been pissing me off about the Bruins right now. It's like,
fuck you, Blue. Fuck you. It's called good hockey, bitch.
No, I want complete, total dominance. I want them under the fucking heel of
even,
the goddamn...
You know, like Pittsburgh did the other night with their 10-3 win?
Okay, maybe not as dominant as that, but I mean, shit, at least maybe six or eight or something around there.
But yet, only one guy had a trick.
What? Who?
I don't know. Some loser dude.
Asshole. No, but like, I mean, the first one, right? That ended up with like
a 1-0,
a 1-0 win. The second one ended up with the
2-1 win.
2-1 win.
Loss. Sorry.
Oh, 2-1 win for the Capitals. And then the next one, I kind of lost.
We won 4-3.
I'm just.
But then we lost.
It's kind of weird. It's like when the Bruins step on the ice, it's like it's either a hot or cold night. I don't get it. But
it's the same thing with them with the Capitals too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ovechkin, he's just
a bitch.
He's a wiry little asshole.
He's a bitch.
I hate him like so much.
He's a bitch,
and I want him to be floored.
Bitch,
and
bitch,
I mean,
bitch,
I want him. I want that guy to be floored in the point where it's a legal flooring because of the fact that he would just be skating down the thing, not looking up, and just char come out of nowhere and
pull
land,
Pacioretty,
just bam on the ground and
no,
Melnick.
I want him to pull Pacioretty on him.
Pacioretty, flip him.
No, Pacioretty was the Canadiens player that's face bounced off that pole.
Oh, right.
I do not condone the violence, but Ovechkin's one of the dirtiest players. Him and Rafi Torres.
No, but that's the other thing. Okay, to get back into the hockey playoff thing, there has been some seriously dirty shit that's been going on. And just because of the fact that they don't want, you know, to be doing so many calls and whatnot like they do in the regular season, that these guys are probably either going to end up in a serious, you know, they're going to get injured seriously, which would happen with one of the other games the other night.
Yes, Rafi Torres, like I said, another very dirty player, came in and creamed Marian Hossa.
Which was not cool. He knocked him out, dude.
He was backboarded and brought to the hospital.
No, yeah, well, yeah, he was put on a stretcher and stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, the guy was, you know... He was just basically standing there, and did he not get... He didn't even have the puck.
Nope.
And all of a sudden, just he comes up, and he just... Bam! He went off his skates. It's like, you're not supposed to go off your skates. It's not like... I mean, same with football. That's like the same thing of doing the... what do you call that? The
propelling yourself.
Yeah, like the propelling. It's the whatever freaking Goldberg used to do in the wrestling ring.
Spear.
Yeah, you're sparing the players, basically. So for the most part, it's like you're not supposed to be sparing somebody. You know, on especially on a hockey rink. I mean, you could build up really good at speed and stuff like that, and you could injure somebody. But for the most part, yeah, a lot of these calls haven't been going through. There's been tripping calls. There's been just that have fallen through. It's been kind of like a shitstorm. I don't really like that. And I was watching a couple other things, and I had to agree with this, guys, that there's going to be some serious book throwing at some people. So people are going to get let go, I should say.
So a lot of referees are going to be given the pink slip.
No, I mean players should be getting some shit thrown away. I mean, but for the most part, I think I think somebody's paying these goddamn referees just not to call anything anymore. It's like how.
Well, I know they play favorites to the home team because
not even dude. No, not even man. I mean, one of the first games that was being played with Boston and the Capitals, I swear it was like, dude, the refs are not calling a damn thing for Boston. They've called it, and the Capitals had a couple power plays. I was like, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. Dude, but seriously, taking on, your own justice on the, on the ice and stuff like that, that's just not cool.
Agreed. It's,
that's when shit goes down and people get really fucked up and injured.
I don't.
Sure they do.
No, they don't.
All right, so besides hockey right now, what else do we got to handle?
Well, I got the Boston Marathon here. I actually went into Boston to see some of the people cross the finish line and everything.
It's a French thing, isn't it?
You mean scraping and crawling and
begging for their moms to come peel them away. All that good crap, right?
So, I just think it was pretty funny that the weather that day was like almost 95 and people are just dying.
Yeah. I was actually pretty okay. I was pretty okay.
Yeah, but you weren't running a marathon.
True. So I have like the results here. I'll read first through third place for men's and women. So for third place for women, coming in at 2 hours, 33 minutes and 9 seconds, there was Georgina Rono from Kenya.
Wait. Okay, you gotta say from second place. I have to hear who second place was.
Second place was Jermina Jelgata Sumgong at 2 hours, 31 minutes and 52 seconds from Kenya. And first place for women's was Sharon Chirop, 2 hours, 31 minutes, 50 seconds from
Kenya.
Wait, I thought you said first and third. What?
Yes, those were first and third for women's. For men's, at 2
minutes. Who came in second for the women?
Jermina Jelagat Sumgong.
From Kenya.
Then why did you just say first and third were both Kenyans?
No, I'll tell you first through third.
First through third.
You suck. Speak better.
Okay, for men's, third place at 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 13 seconds was Bernard Kipyego from
Kenya.
Second place, 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 6 seconds, Levi Matebo from
Kenya.
And first place, 2 hours, 12 minutes, 40 seconds, Wesley Korek from
Kenya.
No,
I was right.
There is no Ethiopia guy?
Fourth.
Oh, great.
14th.
Wait, I thought there was one of 4.
No, USA was fourth.
What? How
Jason,
did you pull that off?
I don't know. From Colorado, Jason Hartman.
Two hours.
2 hours, 14 minutes, and 31 seconds.
Oh, no, he didn't look American. He looked Kenyan.
No, he... Oh, I have it right here. You're thinking of the women.
Oh.
The women, fourth place with Ethiopia. I am not going to even attempt to pronounce her.
Wait, here we go. I'm going to do it just to be mean. Fawul Dadu. Haha. That was easy.
Okay. So those were the results for men's and women. So that's my piece on the Boston Marathon.
I ran the Boston Marathon. And
did you shit yourself?
No. I made it around the first corner and the sausage guy was there. I was done.
Yeah.
There were half price sausages. You would have stopped too.
Well, at least they weren't like suffering like the New York Marathon or something like that.
Oh, no, it was the Chicago Marathon. They had to stop the Chicago Marathon.
No.
How do you stop a marathon?
No.
Cops come up and say, no,
I can't remember the name of the comedian though, but he was saying that I remember watching like the New York Marathon, and it was just so bad that the people were running and they didn't want to stop, so they basically were shitting their pants while they're running. So there's like a big load rolling out of their pants while like running. You know those short shorts?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I think we'll try to run it next year.
Yeah, we're right.
Why? What's the laughter? Maybe I'll do it as a fundraiser.
I say run it with a pack, military style.
Yeah, there were a bunch of Army people doing it.
And they fully crossed it. Yo, I think we should all get a group together. We'll get, you know, talk to some organizations that we know about supporting us. And we'll run wearing, like, fight t-shirts and shorts.
And one of you has to pull me on one of those carriages.
Yeah,
we'll I'll put that. You in a wheelchair. And
a rickshaw. Like,
he's our special buddy.
They'll carry me in a rickshaw.
No, we'll do that. Except the rope will be tied around his neck. So if he slips out, if he lets go of the wheelchair, he's trying to throw his neck.
I say we Three Stooge that ship. He'd be like, no, I couldn't put it on the front. I keep getting him when he's drinking. How's the milk up your nostrils now?
Hold on.
Oh! Snot rocket.
How many boogers are we talking here?
Hey.
Yeah, I know.
My boogers are filled with calcium and vitamin D at this moment.
Jesus.
Oh.
That's bad.
All right.
Now that's a bad habit.
What?
Yeah.
Snorting calcium and vitamin D?
Well, it's a lot better than snorting coke.
All right. So yesterday, apparently I'm the only one from B3 that did it.
Because I was at work.
A.K.A. watching porn and... You know, making Vaseline, you know.
No, that's not Thursday.
That's my job.
Oh, yeah. That's Thursdays. Never mind. Sorry, it was on Friday.
I don't know where the guy was.
Blue lost his car keys and had to backtrack.
Yeah,
nine
I had
miles.
To backtrack like, about 9 miles. It was ridiculous.
So I watched the pregame ceremonies for the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park. And, like, this truly brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, he's a big softy, ladies.
Yes. He cries.
Hey, listen, you watch legends like Johnny Pesky and Bobby Doerr being brought up 94 and 92 years old. You know, being as huge of a sports fan as I am, Jose Canseco got booed.
I can't believe they actually invited him.
Everybody that ever wore a uniform was invited. They didn't have to come.
And even Zombie Babe Ruth came in to play. Yeah, to just he just had a big soggy and he kept pointing everywhere because he was going to eat somebody's brains.
I think he's going to hit a home run. No, he's going breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack.
Boredom.
I think they should have had John Goodman actually walk out with them. That would have been great because he did a great movie.
Yeah,
slash impression
very of underappreciated movie.
It was a great movie.
And don't forget the actual movie with Babe Ruth in it, Pride of the Yankees.
Yes.
Yeah.
With some of these people that I got a chance to watch come out, you know, that we all know. Pedro Martinez, Mike Timlin, Kevin Millar, Alan Emery, Keith Falk. Bobby Doerr and Johnny Pesky were Tim Wakefield and Jason Varitek.
Yeah, who both just retired this year.
You know, we had Jim Rice and Carl Yastrzemski, Carlton Fisk, Bill Buckner. He was one of the first people to come out and they let him walk out of the dugout.
Yeah, although there was a bit of an embarrassing moment where someone tried to throw him a ball and he couldn't get it because it went between his legs.
Really, really?
Sorry, that's...
It's been 25 years.
It's in the baseball rule book. Every time you mention Bill Buckner, you have to make a joke about it. It's in the book.
That's why he's not a real fan. But the ceremony was nice. You had a flyover from current and World War II planes.
You know what? You know what I think they should have really done?
What?
They should have had a big paper mache of Bucky Dent. So they could beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But like,
there'd be candy for all the kids. They'd be happy.
They actually flew over the World War II Mustangs, the same kind that Ted Williams flew.
They should have also had like people dressed up, like how they were back in 1912.
That's what the players all wore.
Yeah.
They wore the old 1912.
No, no, I meant the crowd all wearing like the big.
You've never.
Yeah, good luck, buddy.
Crowd, man. When they threw out the ceremonial first pitch, they actually had Mayor Menino throw it out from the first row, like Mayor Honeycomb did back then,
mm-hmm.
along with Mayor Honeycomb's daughter. Uh-oh. Oh. Rose, who later married a gentleman, and she became known as Rose Kennedy. So, Maria Kennedy Shriver threw out a first pitch.
Yeah.
As a living descendant.
I'm thinking, like, Naked Gun when they had the queen, you know, and she threw the wicked corkscrew or something like that from, like, the front row or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they did it in those old methods. But, I'm sorry, King. There's no, like, you know, thrift store from the 1900s just around the corner from, you know, the stadium that could...
They could have at least wore, like, the big mustaches.
The Hannibal let's mustaches. Give everybody fake mustaches.
Hannibal. Yes, I feel like we're in 1912.
Yeah. Right.
Which, by the way, I thought it was awesome back in MVP Baseball 2005 where you could actually play at Fenway Park as it was in 1912.
So they removed all the lights and a whole bunch of other really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Tonight's a night game and you can't see a bloody thing out here.
They didn't play night games back then.
Exactly.
The first night game happened where?
Here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and they removed all black people.
That's so true.
So that's why we lost badly.
Yeah.
Actually, if... You know, people remember, which, me being a true sports fan, I know.
No.
First game ever at Fenway was against the New York Islanders. 1 year later became the New York Yankees. We wound up winning 7-6 with a walk-off hit by Tris Speaker with a walk-off single. Tris Speaker.
No, still not. It's Matt's not ringing that. A bell here, man.
It's okay. Us diehard fans know who he is.
Well, you still have those AFL fights to talk about.
Yeah. We'll talk about some of these fun fights. No, you know, I'm just kidding around. AFL was great. Have to thank Pete a million times. He puts on a great show.
And he has an awesome truck.
The truck was awesome.
Yeah, he's got this... was it a Chevy?
No, that's not his. That belongs to Lowriders.
Anyways, it still is a pretty sweet truck. I don't care.
So we were at the Best Western Event Center in Mansfield. Now, we walked in here, and this place looked like a palace.
No.
And you go to the Grand Ballroom, and, you know, we had, you know, our friends from Get Punched and Prime Athletic Corps. We ran into Rich O from Rich O's Photography.
Ow.
Kate is in the middle. It was a great setup, and they actually had us up on the stage, and all the fighters walked behind us and down past us. We had our banner hanging up across our table, and we were joined by our friend Travis Sinclair from Western Mass MMA, which, you know, was a great time. He's a great guy, you know. Look forward to working with them in the future. And the fight started, and Night of Champions, you know, you expect a lot, and they definitely delivered. This is one of the best cards I've seen in a very long time, and some phenomenal fights. We're just going to jump through a quick few of them that I want to throw over.
Mainly, like, the actual Night of Champions, more or less.
Yeah. I want to congratulate a friend of ours, though, Davis Roast, on winning that night.
Yeah, actually, he did a pretty damn good job, yeah.
Oh, so, great job to
him. What team is he out of again?
Team Citchitone.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was one that I thought that, you know, there was at least one of the guys won from Team Citchitone that night.
Yes. Now, there was a good fight between Jared Sarno and Mike Dels Rey. Sarno from South Shore Sports Fighting.
There was actually a lot of South Shore Sports Fightings. I felt there was a good amount of those guys there that night.
Yes. And Dels Rey from Dexter. It was a good fight, but Sarno wound up winning by unanimous decision. He got the Amateur Flyweight Championship. So congratulations to him. We had the knockout of the night fight between Corey Pickering from South Shore Sports Fighting and Soap Am from Team Prudel Soray fighting for the AFL 145 title. Soap Am won via 11-second knockout.
Mm-hmm.
First round, 11 seconds in, he knocks out Corey Pickering.
I just wish we had the audio recording of you as that actually happened.
Right now?
Yeah.
No. I think I'm the better one in the background.
What do you mean you're the better one in the background? We can't hear you in the background. All we heard was, yeah, you fading away in the background. He ran towards the cage with like a torn knee ligament.
Jesus. Yes, I have a partial torn meniscus. I ran off a stage to run down there.
So he went off a stage that was about, 4 feet high off the ground to running down some steps over to a cage that's about 50 feet away from where we were sitting. And he grabbed Soap and he picked him up. And it's like, dude, seriously, calm down.
And then we get out to the hallway. I'm like, oh, I'm a moron.
Ibuprofen, morphine, no! Well, there was that EMT girl there that was really kind of cute.
Maybe I wanted to see if she'd help me.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Melissa.
You bastard, I knew it! Veteran status is just disapproved now. Poor status reinstated.
Wait, you can't go backwards.
Yes, I can.
Rule book states... I'm sorry.
There is such thing as dethroning / rank.
No, you can't because it's not like it's some... You know,
demotion. It's thing. A demotion.
Yes.
You can only get demoted off Fugly.
It's called the Anvil Law. It's named in your honor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just because he's jealous. You cannot pull jealousy.
There is no jealousy. It's just because you keep doing it.
Hey, I'm cocky. What do you expect? No, I'm kidding. All right, let's move on.
Don't laugh yourself stupid over there, King.
So, they had a grapplers exhibition between Cody Nordby...
Which was pretty funny.
...and Ken Moy.
The start of it was pretty funny.
It was a good time. Cody's supposed to fight and defend his AFL 125 championship. His opponent had to pull out, so they gave him a chance to do this, because 2 days after this fight, Cody left for the Army. So we wish him good luck, in the Army, and hopefully we'll see him back soon. But him and Kid Moy put on a great show, and both of them walked away winners.
And who was guest referee? Yet again, Pete
DeLorenzen. I hope I said that right.
Now we're never going to get media passes ever again. Said it wrong. We're all done.
The owner of AFO.
Yep.
Going to have to pay her way now.
He had a good time with it. Really? Do you just have it sitting there?
Yes, yeah, she does. I don't doubt that he has probably, a couple of the other things that...
No, I don't. That's the only one I have.
Right, okay. We have crickets waiting in the background.
No, I don't. Home with a dope. Alright, so I'm going to cover the last two, the two professional fights. For the vacant AFO...
Yeah.
Welterweight Championship... Brendan Shagnon of Team Citrotone versus Jeremy Ross of Gladiator BJJ. Yeah. Ross won by guillotine 1 minute, 2 seconds into the first round. So congratulations to Jeremy Ross. Also, the main event of the evening. Tyson Cartier, 3-1 from Team Citrotone. Versus Thane Stimson.
Yeah.
0-1 from Team Alpha Male. Thane Stimson wins via guillotine 2 minutes 45 seconds into the first round. So congratulations to you, Thane. AFO puts on a really great show. I'm looking forward to their next one, which will be in June.
Where at?
Same place.
Oh, damn it. Long ride down to Mansfield.
It's okay.
Such a long ride.
Well,
they went 128 that time, so.
There was also some really other good fights that weekend. I want to congratulate a good friend of the group's, John Doomsday Howard.
Yeah.
He fought for CES for the 185 title against Todd Chantel and won in the second round due to unanswered strikes. So congratulations, man. I know you're going to do great then. Hopefully we see you in the UFC again because you're one of the best fighters around and... Yeah, I've seen those rankings come out and your name's not on there, which is, I think, horrible.
Sorry, but Dana White, I doubt it right now because it's Dana White, man. I don't know. He's going to have to either seriously prove or win some serious championship, you know, to get it back in there. But I don't, it's not like I don't trust in Howard to bring the doomsday, basically, to that and whatnot and get back up into the saddle. But, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's a wicked uphill battle, but, and I feel that if you have to fight your way back in to get into the UFC, you're going to wear yourself out.
Well, since leaving the UFC, he is 2-0. He beat two very tough competitors, so he's doing this thing.
Yeah. Keep going, Doomsday. You do very good job.
Very good job.
Okay. I think that's it.
That's it for sports?
Yes. And tonight we'll be hanging out watching Evans
versus Jones
for the title. I'm taking John Jones. Blue.
I'm taking Jones.
I want to take Jones, yeah. It's just like, I don't know, but the people that I've been talking to lately, I was just like, I don't like Rashad Evans as a fighter altogether. He just seems like a big, giant...
sloppy guy.
Douchebag.
Oh.
Look, Rashad Evans, his jaw is like taking a piece of glass and throwing it off the Empire State Building.
That's the whole thing that it was when he went and versed Rampage Jackson and stuff like that, it pissed me off because of the fact that he moved around the whole cage and Rampage was like, what the hell am I supposed to do with him because he keeps running away? And he throws a couple punches and then runs away. He throws a couple punches and runs away. I mean, I know Rampage can do a mad dash and probably tackle him, but with Rashad Evans, he's kind of... I can't remember if he has a ground game or not because I've never seen him
go to... He's supposed to be a good wrestler, but the biggest part of this is both men used to train for Team Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
So, alright, we can go now because I know we're probably running short on time at this time.
We are at 47 minutes.
And we still got video games and movies to cover.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. We can do it.
Alright.
Screw Diabolical Pitch.
All right.
I'm going to go watch the Bruins game for a minute while you guys cover sports.
I mean games. You all cover sports, asshole.
Fuck you.
All right, well, we'll move Diabolical Pitch to next week then.
I didn't get to play it, so...
Well, it's because it's a Kinect title.
Oh, Kinect, mister. I got Kinect. F you. F you, Blue.
We'll do it next week so you can give it a try.
Yeah, okay, right.
There you go. You'll do it next week.
So, Trials Evolution... Or, as I want to call it, Tourette's in a can.
Yep.
I can say that the game is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love the game, and sadly, we couldn't get to play it at PAX East and whatnot. 1-0 Capitals?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck them. But, sadly, we couldn't play this game at PAX East and whatnot, but for the most part, It's a great game, especially the follow-up to Trials HD and stuff like that.
Yep, and it's one of those games where, okay, you might crash a lot, but there are funny things that happen in it that keep you from, like, really being upset. Yes, you get the Tourette's, but you're not, like, all too upset.
I think the funny thing about it is you do everything in your power not to fall, and then when you get to the end, something, like, either catapults you off or explodes, bombs get dropped on you, yes. Pianos get dropped on you.
And parts of trains as well.
Yes.
I was on the floor laughing when I first saw that.
Yeah, and you were screaming in my ear, thank you.
Sorry.
I was on the other side of the Xbox, you know, headset, and all of a sudden I hear, no! Oh, yes! It's like, calm down.
What was it you said to me? Don't be the fucking Geico pig, or...
Yeah, don't be... No, you were like, wee! Pure adrenaline. Wee! I'm like, Jesus Christ, shut up! But, no, with the whole setup that they have, I have to say that the physics and everything that they put into the game is pretty damn impressive.
Agree.
But also, I've gotten to the hard or extreme now. Well, actually, extreme.
Really?
And it is extremely hard. I've been only able to finish one level out of the six or seven that they have or something like that. But
yeah, I can't wait to get to one of the extreme ones because one of the circus ones is based off Explosion Man.
Yeah, actually, I did that one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did that. I've done a lot with the game. besides trying to wait for Ghost Recon and their server issues, which yeah. we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, for the most part, no, the game design is great. What was the other one I was just playing recently? I was playing one with, you're doing skis. And I had one hell of a time with that. It was like downhill skiing, but you could do it as fast as you want. So, and you had to do flips, you had to do this, you know, you had to get a certain amount of points to get the you know, to mm-hmm. own it and whatnot. But it's also a great little design because they have dots that follow you to show the other guys, like if other people in your list have been playing it, it shows other people, you know, how far they've gone, and, you know, you try to do your best to beat them and whatnot. And I've done a good job at beating Billy from Structure Gaming.
Yeah,
for the most part, and he'll probably come back and whip its ass again soon.
Probably.
But no, I was talking with him, and he was going to give it a full 10. He was going to give it a 10 out of 10, I guess.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, besides my Tourette syndrome, you know, coming out of play.
And I wish we could get, like, video recording, like, a commentary of sorts.
If I could get the proper computer to do it, to record what was going on in the game, but also play, like, me in the bottom window of the screen, so you get picture in picture, and you could see me going, yeah, yeah, fuck, and just, me whip the controller around the room and just, you know, start punching walls and, yeah. It gets to the point where I get pretty passionate about gaming, and, sometimes I might go a little bit too far.
Little?
Okay, fine, a lot too far. Okay. But yeah, for the most part, I have to say Trials, for rating, I don't know if I could officially give it a full 5, but I could give it a 4.8.
Okay.
Due to the fact that it's fun and annoying at the same time. Because of the fact that, like, on the extreme one, there's ridiculous, like, hills you gotta climb, certain things you gotta get up on top of, and it's like the bike that they either give you the 450cc bike that's massive, and it's kind of clunky and it's kind of heavy, so it's not good for the trials aspect.
Yeah.
And then they give you a 250cc one that is great, but it doesn't have always the power that you need to get to certain places. So it depends on what you're going to use for the bike on the levels, but
yep.
I have to say that the design of the game, you can customize the bike, which is pretty cool.
You can customize the tracks.
You can customize the character that you have. Of course, I made my guy all blue, black, and gray. So yeah. But for the most part, what do you feel about this game so far?
So far, I'm really enjoying it. I feel like the toughest thing about it, though, is trying to angle your bike properly as you're about to land. Because I've tried it so many times. I'm doing triple flips, and like, okay, I think I'm good. No, I just landed on my back. I felt like they did a great job with the physics in the game. The humorous elements of the game were really good, too. I agree with you. I really can't give this a full 5. I think I'm going to go more towards maybe like a 4.4 out of 5 so far.
But no, all together, give out the trial, you know, give the trial on the game, you know, a chance and whatnot. And if you like it, you can buy it. It's 1,200 Xbox Live points, but I think it's well worth it.
Yeah.
This game is well worth it.
I didn't play the game, but I watched Blue play and it looked awesome.
Yeah, it looked awesome when I was swearing up and down the friggin', you know, room.
sits and crashes the bike and like, Sarah, bitch!
Yeah, well, at one point I had my nephew on the other end of the little guy. Bad timing on that part.
Yep.
Don't worry, he's 11 years old. He knows what's going on. Or wait, does he?
He's 11 already?
Yep. And the older nephew's 18. We're old. No.
That's what I'm saying. Remember back when we used to just pick him up by, you know,
and toss the shirt him in the pool.
And throw him?
Yeah. Alright, so the other game that we got going on here is we were able to, well, I put money down on getting Ghost Recon. And somebody got lucky and got a code from me.
Yep, and I thank you for that.
Okay. And then also one of our other friends here, Loki, I sent one to him, and then we also sent one to his brother-in-law, and then I think I tried to send one to my nephew, but he didn't use it because he didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
And but unfortunately, Anvil never gets sent keys.
I got another one.
Okay.
So basically, here's what I had to go through for Ghost Recon Future Soldiers.
Did you even get to play it yet?
I got to the loading screen while I was going. Come on. Loading.
Yeah, and then I was on the other mic. I was just like, yeah, it's stuck again. So let's go back to the thing and reset.
And then, once again, it went. Look, now loading. Now loading. For 5 minutes straight.
Do you want to be even funnier at that? Instead of the Jeopardy noise, you did the AOL dial-up.
I remember those good old days.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I did that.
I would basically go and, like, okay, I'm going to go and sign on to the internet. Like, you'd hear that, the annoying sound, and I'd just go run to the bathroom and take a big, giant...
Deuce.
And then, and then go back and... And then it might be just done.
Pulled out my book and started reading.
I used to go make a sandwich and get all my snacks and energy drinks all ready for my gaming.
Well, I have to say one thing that doesn't help you in the most part, King, is the fact that you have Comcast. It seemed that because I got to play with Billy, from
Structured Gaming
and whatnot, and a couple of his other compadres from other type gaming companies from around the area and whatnot, and it was pretty fun day because of the fact that we got to play a lot more, and we were trying to get a bigger group in, and it just kept on going. It was pretty awesome, but the gameplay, we were all just saying like, this is gonna blow it out of, like, Call of Duty out of the water. I think Call of Duty it has some serious competition now. I mean, I know Battlefield 3 was really good competition, but now even Battlefield 3 might be hard-pressed on this because of how good it is.
So, folks at Activision and EA Games should start biting their fingernails in fear.
They do that every day because they think they're going to lose their job. Besides from that, yeah, they're probably going to be looking to get their resumes spit-shined up and whatnot and make it look pretty because it's just... Because of the fact that Ghost Recon right now, they've done a lot of stuff. They've made the game a third-person setup, but also you're able to go into a kind of like a... It's kind of hard to say, because what it is it goes from third-person. It's almost like Gears of War, but it's a better angle.
Yeah.
Next to that, you can also go into a certain site where it's kind of like a side view down the side rail, but also you can see the character. But then you can also switch into the actual iron sights or scope, which is awesome because of the fact that that gives you three separate options to shoot people in. The coverage thing is, I have to say, it's pretty damn good because of the fact that now all you have to do, you know, you press A, and you get pushed up against whatever you're at for coverage, right? Then you could point out at the point where you want to go. Like, it puts a little arrow on the ground and says, this is where you're looking at. Do you want to go here? And then you just hold down A, which is the run button, and the character runs over. It gets into that coverage. So it moves a hell of a lot smoother. It gets you where you need to go. It's so much better in that sense. Looking out of corners is a hell of a lot better, but also that gives, when I was doing sniping, some of the shots I was getting off, I thought I hit the corner of the wall, but I hit those guys dead on in the head. It was just awesome. It was beautiful. Now, I have to say, one of the groups is called the scout guy, right? Who's a sniper, basically. If you go to a place, right, and you stand still, he goes into the camouflage. And I mean, this is not just any camouflage. It's actually, you could see through the character.
So, like a chameleon suit.
Yeah, it's a... Awesome. If you got to see the live trailer, it's what they were working in, what they have. Like, there's a guy walking through, and you could see, like, an outline of the guy walking in the game. Well, in the live trailer that they created a couple years back. And they brought it into the game. Not to mention, one of my other favorite little weapons to run around with, the taser. You can tase the opposition, and then you can kill them. It's pretty funny. So all you do is you just run up, it's like, bzzz, and then you run off and kill the other things. But also, the other fun thing that I just recently was able to check out is they have, you're able to access the gunsmith section. So it's not like you could do it with the Kinect right now.
Okay.
That's besides the point of the beta right now. They have it set up so you can actually, when you earn the points, you pull the guns apart, you can upgrade the trigger, you can upgrade the barrels, you can upgrade the moving parts inside of it, the stock, the sight, everything on the gun. Everything you could possibly do to the gun to change it and make it even better, you can red jacket the shit out of this gun. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And, but the other thing that made my day was, if anybody's ever seen Deadliest Warrior, there was the one that they did where it was the American SWAT team, the LA SWAT team, versus the GSG9, which is the German SWAT team. And the beautiful thing that they brought out was this thing called the Taser Shockwave. Now, if you have a chance to, go to Google, go to Images, and type in Taser Shockwave, or otherwise type in Taser Shockwave in YouTube, and you will be just horrified at the creation of it. Now, back in the day when, you know, the military, and I mean like back in the day when they had the musket setups, and there's a volley system, you know, where there is, you know, two rows of guys. One guy, the guys in front would kneel down, and the guys in back would stand the barrels over the top of them, and they'd be able to do a volley. This is basically what the Taser Shockwave does with the friggin' needles, though. And I was like, dude, I have to work on my way to get those points just to get that, just so I could see it work in action. It is probably one of the scariest things you'll ever see, you know, especially because of the fact that it's for crowd control, but they... Mm-hmm. You know, they've done it in a military fashion right now, so I'm really just, like, looking forward to see that. One of my favorite guns right now I was able to work with as a scoutman was, you got to try out the MP7. You got to try out I think it's the M4 Sniper. As a rifleman, you got to, well, depending on what side you were. If you were a ghost, you were dealing with the guns I just recently talked about. And then the other ones, you got to do the saw gun, and I upgraded the shit out of my saw gun, and it's pretty sick now.
Hmm.
but they have the ACR, I believe it is, and a couple of the other rifles that, oh man. I'm telling you that this is a step up, and I'm so happy that finally Ghost Recon will be coming out with it May 22nd. I swear, if there's any drawbacks or any changing, I will. I'm telling you, there will be bloodshed. I can't imagine them trying to push this up again. There's no freaking way, because this game is that good. I don't care. Just give me the damn game if it's broken, and just patch the living hell out of it. I don't care. I want this game now. That's how it's that good. But saying that, because of the multiplayer beta right now, they've been having issues with the servers. Now, I think that the only problem with that was is because of the fact that there's somebody that created some kind of code generator, and it got out, and people were getting a lot of codes, and it was overwhelming their servers. Mind you that this multiplayer beta was really supposed to only be for the people who put money down on it first, or otherwise, if you had Splinter Cell, the recent one, you would be able to go to Ubisoft Play, and be able to play it off there, which I finally was able to do that too, because I just wanted to try it out. And yeah, it was just one of those things where it's like, wow, it really got overwhelmed. And at some point, you know, you were either able to get into a game, and you would want to stay in that game no matter what. Just stay in the freaking game, and you would stay in it, and it would be perfectly fine. But as soon as you get out of that, and you try to get in there, you could get stuck on the loading screen, and that was probably one of the most annoying things that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were working on upgrading the servers, and they were doing everything the best they possibly could. And I say, Ubisoft, you've done a great job with this game, and give me the damn game now. Just damn it, I want it now. Just give me it.
It's almost here, dude. Next month. Next month. You can wait. You can wait. You can do it.
Now I know how those, you know, crack addicts feel. Besides the bug, you know, in my skin feeling. That's, you know. No! No! Ah! Stop it! Anvil, stop touching me.
I was even the bug in the
5 foot rule! Cough!
Hey, Alan.
Oh!
Okay.
My arms are 5 feet 1 inch long. Haha.
So, Why don't we move on to the movie we just saw today?
Wait.
The one that we start today is a group, or the one that I saw, you know, without the group today? Technically.
The one we went to see as a group.
Okay.
What?
Oh, okay. My movie started at like midnight. Oh, 4:15 in the morning.
So, The Three Stooges. And I've been waiting for this movie to come out for almost a decade. Because I've heard of how long it's been taking the Farrelly Brothers to actually make this movie. Like, I remember back in 2004, they were talking about making it with
Jim Carrey,
Benicio Del Toro, and Sean Penn as Moe, Larry, and Curly.
I'm sorry, but I can't really see Benicio Del Toro doing that. He's not, he's a great actor, don't get me wrong, but I can't see him doing comedy.
Jim Carrey in this? No.
Well, he was putting on weight to play Curly.
He's too skinny. There's way too. He would have played fucking Curly.
That
would have
been Sean Penn.
Dude, Sean Penn
would have been Larry.
Oh, that would have been even worse.
I don't know.
Remember the Spicoli character? He kind of has that sort of. He's got the Larry face.
Yeah, but Jim Carrey playing Curly.
Yeah, if you punch him in the face enough. But no, I mean, for the most part, with. You know, the character playlist that they had with this one, which, you know, go down the line. Just name off the guys who played who. You don't have that page up, do you?
Of what?
IMDb.
Of who?
Of the fucking people that we're talking about!
Yes, yes, I have them up. I got Chris Diamantopoulos as Mo Howard.
Thank you.
Sean Hayes as Larry Fine, and Will Sasso as Curly Howard.
Thank you.
And they did a phenomenal job at felt like actually watching the old Three Stooges.
Because they gave you the music and the starting of it and the funny little faces that they have of the characters. And, you know, they even actually did the overlay that made it look like it was old and stuff, too, to make it. But but really what made me upset was that this was a PG-13?
No, just PG.
Oh my god, PG! No!
I found it hilarious how they actually broke it down into scenes and did it like the old show did.
Yep, like the old movies, like first movie, second
but there was
movie.
Like, there was like three episodes more or less.
Yes.
When they said, and now the last episode, I went, no, I want more! Yeah, they were able to do a pretty good job with it.
I'm sorry, Larry David as Sister Mary Mango. He was such a great nun.
He's been saying this since before he saw the movie.
I know. It's fucking Larry David as a nun.
I don't like Larry David.
You're a racist!
Come on, you had to laugh when the giant bell fell on top of her.
Nope.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. I saw you. Come on. Donut remover.
I was still laughing at the donut remover.
But I mean,
and I was too busy checking out that really hot nun who wound up in a bikini at the end.
Yeah. But for the most part, the design of the story was the Three Stooges were orphans, basically some nice. What kind of car was that? It looked like it was a pretty nice car. I mean, it almost looked something like the old like 76 like Chargers, like Chargers or something.
With the father from Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. He drives up and he tosses the vehicle and he tosses the duffel bag of the babies onto the front part of the stairs.
Oh, no.
I'm not talking about the freaking Volkswagen. Yeah. Not the Volkswagen, the Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce yet.
Okay.
No, you jerk.
Donkey. You no longer a donkey or donkey.
The setup that they had on it was, you know, they just tossed him on there and. Is it Sister Magda? Larry Davis is friggin'.
Sister Larry David.
We'll just call him Sister Larry David. Got poked in the eye and ended up flipping off the thing, and, you know, the really hot don comes out. Oh, look, the angels, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all of them, like, yeah, we want a piece of them, and this and that. And then.
10 years later.
Sure, 10 years later, they're like, I don't want to deal with them. But, yeah, they had a whole setup, which. Even the kids, the characters that played the kids, did a fantastic job. It was pretty impressive.
See, senor.
I just thought it was funny just trying to see the kids trying to do the musical number, and then just like, stop it! No! Shut up!
Yeah, like... But I mean, like, that's the thing. I can't see them doing this movie as PG. There's no... Wait, time when I was sitting there, when we were watching the intro movies into it, and then I was like... Okay, there's Madagascar. Okay, there's the Ice Age. What the hell is up with this crap? Why are we getting subject to this? And then I was like, crap, it was PG. It's like, really? And then we had the goddamn kids running around in the goddamn theater.
Oh. I wish I had a taser.
I know.
I just wish I could just... if I could get away with it, just walk over, whack the kid in the head, say, sit down, shut up, and watch the fucking movie. No, I would!
If this was the 50s, we could have.
Yeah. No. See, if this was the 50s, a lot of those people that I've seen driving around with their kids with the, you know, in the back without the seatbelt on... And the, besides, the police would just let them just actually go so the kid would pop out of the window now? That would be a hell of a lot better. There would be a hell of a lot more population controls than the kid, you know, the parents, you know, they'd be like, whoops. You know, back in the day, it was like, you've got these big tanks, and you're driving around, and all of a sudden, you know, you just take a turn, and, oop, I lost a kid. Whoopsie, the one less mouth to feed.
Oh, jeez.
But no, I mean, for the most part, I think what it was is because of the fact that they were trying to modernize, to our standing right now as modernization,
yes,
of what the Three Stooges was, because of the fact that
but they
theirs, still, was, theirs was from, you know...
The 1930s and 40s.
30s to 60s.
Yeah, 30s to 60s.
So it's 30-year span.
But they still kept it close to how the Three Stooges were back then.
Yes.
But also, like, making fun of things today. Like, I mean, the right. iPhone part, that was pretty hilarious, you know, and a yeah. couple
oh,
other
that, what's that? It's an iPhone. Look into it. Hello?
There's no one there.
Yeah, it works better with your ear.
And then there was... Okay, so there was the Jersey Shore part. Now, originally, when this movie was first being considered, it was originally going to have Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. But they had to revamp it, of course, and they had to put Jersey Shore. And I do have to admit, those scenes were pretty funny.
Yeah, but Snooki wasn't pregnant.
Of course she wasn't. This was filmed in 2011.
Hey. I want to see that little midget pregnant. She might trip and fall over her own belly.
She does own her own boobs. She doesn't need to. Anyways.
Yeah, they're only going to get bigger.
Yeah, well.
But did you notice how, like, one of the main guys that was working behind the scenes at Jersey Shore was the Old Spice guy?
Yeah, that's what I thought
that's
he was.
That's who I thought that was.
Isaiah.
I was kind of like, what? Why does that look like the guy from Old Spice? And they were just like, oh, wait, he's not wearing a towel and his shirt's not off.
And he's not acting super cocky.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. He's not even just like standing there, and which is the scene's moving around him. That's the whole thing. He was actually walking around. I was pretty impressed.
Probably the Three Stooges movie.
He is a damn good actor. But yeah, for that part, I mean, the Three Stooges all together. I that was the thing I was most afraid of, was because people were like, yeah, the movie is actually pretty funny.
And how like, they finally tried.
I was like, you know what? Your definition of funny is totally different to my definition of funny. So,
and I'm sorry, but them trying to raise the money to save the orphanage,
$830,000, right?
And the deadly street sweeper.
The bus, the street sweeper, the girl on the pogo stick,
and the arrow to the leg.
Oh, wait.
Arrow to the knee.
Wait, that's the part I found funny because you know it must have been at least 10 minutes where you know that arrow was going through midair.
Yeah. He's like, this thing is deadly in the wrong hands.
Boom, walks, they have a conversation.
They said the bus knocked the disease out of me.
Yeah.
The doctors were baffled.
I know. No, come on, he turtled into his
chest. I know!
And first throws out the stick of dynamite and then blows up.
Yeah, when they had it, when they put it in his cast, and you see the poof, and the cast jumps up a little bit, I was laughing. That had me going.
It's, you know, this is kind of off topic, but I love how people do some of the explosion scenes. Because even like Food Network, I was watching one of the shows yesterday that teaches you, you know, both behind the scenes in some places, and it's called one of them's it's Man vs. Food.
Yeah.
And they put 18 whole habanero peppers on one, and the other guy doing is like, this is like a mini hand grenade. So he's joking, he's holding it, and he's like, looks at the dude, you know, because the guy's like, yeah, just take off the top and throw it in. He's like, all right, cover me. And the guy's like this. Oh. And he pulls the top and throws it into the pot, and they both duck, and they made the little explosion with the mushroom cloud come up over the thing. I love how a lot of places are finally doing that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think they did a great job with this.
I just think with the explosion part on that, because of the fact that it was literally a stick of dynamite, that them hopping behind a curtain, a hospital curtain, would not protect them.
And he comes back out of the cast with only some soot on his face.
And don't forget about the lion incident.
You know what? I don't want to ruin that for anybody. Oh, no, nobody needs that. We have to cut it at that part. But
all right, let's just give our rating now because I think we've given away too much.
Anvil, you
five. Can I go higher than five?
Fine, go ahead.
Can I go 1 million? This is the funniest movie I think I've ever seen in my entire life, and the lion scene definitely sealed it.
You know what? I have to give this to a five as a hardcore Stooges fan.
Wait, Mister, I will never give a five because no movie's perfect. Just said five.
No, you said that.
No,
that was from you.
Thank you.
Maybe it might have been. I do have to give this a five as a hardcore Stooges fan. This played to the originals to a key. I mean, the original Three Stooges. I know you guys are atheists and everything like that, but I bet you that they were looking down and saying, okay, Sean, Dino, and Will, we approve. We approve of what we...
It was kind of funny when I was looking at the times that these guys, you know, passed away. It was kind of funny because a lot of them, they either passed away, like, right at, like, either, like, 1955, or it seemed like the other guys died at 75. It was kind of weird. Like, they all died almost at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I have to say that, like, if they were alive right now, they'd probably enjoy this. And it does play homage to the old Three Stooges, and I don't know how they're going to top this one.
I mean, I still watch the Three Stooges every Sunday morning.
I have it on DVD.
And
yeah, I have them on DVD, too.
I'm a little upset that they didn't do a small cameo of somebody playing Shemp.
I think that... Well, no, that's because of the fact that Curly... That was at the point when Curly was really, like, he was the alcoholic, you know.
It was a stroke. Remember, he had a severe stroke.
He had some other issues, too.
He had alcohol.
He was an alcoholic, too. And that was the thing, it was kind of hard for them to keep him on roll and stuff like that because he was so out of it.
No.
I watched the whole thing about it.
Okay.
Believe me. Shut up.
Because I know...
Shut up.
Because I know in the Marx Brothers, Chico had the alcohol problem and the gambling problem, which is why they kept making the movies, so they could pay off his gambling debts.
But anyways, it seems like one of those things where the Hollywood got the best of the guys, but, you know, they were able to do what they had to do, and they got out what it was, and people love the Three Stooges because of the fact that they were able to bring you laughter because... Everything was a satire or something along those lines of you know, things that were going on at that time. But yeah, for the most part, five. I cannot give that anything else but plus five because it's that good. It's really that good.
Everybody run out and see this movie.
Yeah,
they did a fantastic job. And I overheard Shantae saying, at the drop of a hat, I will do another movie. I will do another Three Stooges.
Yo, he didn't look like himself at all, either.
Agreed.
Scary.
Alright, since we're running low on time, let's jump to the next movie.
Yeah, we're literally at the 80-minute mark now.
See?
Alright, well.
Let's go Blue Bowl.
How do you know that? Yeah. It hurts Davey. Anyways, Lockout. It was very interesting, you know, film. It had
Guy Pearce.
Ah, 2-2? Boobies. Thank you. Guy Pearce. Ah, no, put those away. They look a lot smaller, though. Anyways, put those away. Guy Pearce, in this movie, it's kind of hard to explain because of the fact that it's based in 2071, and what it is they took and created a prison in space, a satellite, basically, if you will. And it's not like the space station, even though that is introduced in the actual movie, because it crashes in there. Into the actual thing, not to really ruin it for you, but I just did. For the most part, the whole system is a prison system, and it's based on cryogenically freezing the really, really bad guys. And I mean, the one thing that pissed me off was because of the size of the thing, I thought they could fit more, you know, prisoners and stuff like that, but apparently it only fits like 400 to 500, you know, prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently you have to be really, like, psychotic or really, really bad in order to be up in this, you know, station. Especially, I would think that would be so goddamn expensive just to send the guys up there, let alone build the whole thing. I don't even think we had the resources on the planet to build the sucker. That's how big this thing was. They had multiple... Yeah, I've seen that. They have multiple setups. I mean, they had one station that was apart from that, so, you know, the inmates, in case anything did happen, which did.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it happened was kind of stupid. Okay, so their main concept of this prison was there's no riots, no rapes, no blah, 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 no, you know, none of the bad stuff that happens at prison nowadays because of the fact they're in cryogenically frozen. So, brilliant as it is, the president's daughter goes up to the space station for humanitarian reasons because of the fact that they said that the people, when they come out of the cryogenic state, they've suffered, you know, a lot of bad stuff, you know, like they go psychotic, they do all these other things and whatnot. And it's just one of those things where they were trying to prove that this was happening. So one of the Secret Service agents, which I don't understand because of the fact that they were in a glass case, more or less, as you want to put it, for the visiting setup.
Yeah.
So the guy that was sitting on the other end, right, they had two Secret Service agents on that side of the glass, and they had two Secret Service agents on the other side of the glass with the president's daughter, which doesn't make any sense because the guy that went into the glass case with the prisoner, he had his gun on him. Which they said, no guns on him. And then, of course, the guy was able to grab it and shoot out the thing. And that's what caused the whole thing where they broke out. But for the most part, they get Guy Pearce and they have to have him go into space to get this certain, you know, package and also get the president's daughter and stuff. It's a damn good movie. I have to say that a lot of the stuff that Guy Pearce did was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's like, it felt like it was like an 80s movie, like the action hero type 80s movie,
mm-hmm.
where he has to do the sayings and all that other stuff, but it got to the point where it was kind of like, it's alright. Well, for the most part, I think, you know, if you really want to go and see an action movie, you know, because this is probably one of the springtime movies going into the summertime that's an action movie, and you need something for, you know, to wait for the next Expendables movie, which is coming out in August, of course, of all places. And, yep. Put your nipples away. Anyways, the whole thing is I would give Lockout probably a 4.4, maybe 4.3
mm-hmm.
out of 5. It was a pretty damn good movie and whatnot. And so go check it out. I have to say, with the graphics that they did on it was kind of hard when they did the chase scene because it was so fast. Like, but it did move like almost like a video game. So I have to give it to them on that one. But altogether, yeah, Lockout was pretty good. You go.
We have some breaking news in the sports world.
My balls.
We have breaking news in the sports world. The NHL just made a ruling on that hit from Rafi Torres to Marian Hossa. Torres has been suspended for 25 games.
Yeah.
Wow. Which will include the rest of the playoffs and into next season.
Suck it.
So, now on to my movie. I mean, I went with a friend last night.
You notebook loving son of a bitch.
I've never seen that movie.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
I went to see The Lucky One with Zac Efron. And
because he's so in love with Zac Efron.
I'm going to stab you in the face.
He's got his autograph right over his bed.
He likes 16 candles too for that other guy. He likes to jerk off.
You too.
I'll
run your head over with your truck.
I know.
Okay. So a friend of mine, you know, it's like, yeah, let's go see him. I'm like, okay, just to be nice. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to survive. Maybe I'll fall asleep in the movie. But it wasn't a bad movie. Zac Efron's a Marine in Iraq. And they do a night raid. And it leads into an ambush. And they're trying to relax, waiting for a helicopter to come pick him up. They lost two Marines along the raid, and he sees something shining, so he goes over to pick it up, and it's a picture of the woman. And when he turns to walk back, a mortar hits right where he'd been sitting, killing three of his comrades, and he gets blown up. Well, a few months later, he loses his best friend over there, and the basic part of the movie is he tries to give her back the picture, meets her, falls in love. Her baby daddy.
He goes ball deep in her.
Is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a good story. I don't want to ruin too much. Her brother had been killed over in Iraq. And you wound up learning connections about that. So I'm going to leave it at that. I wish I could give you more, but we are really short on time. So I'll give the movie a 4.5.
Okay. Alright, so let's wrap up this episode. Remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you've got any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Anvil is on there at anvil63, and Bluonic's on there at Bluonic.
And blue balls. No, I'm just kidding. I thought that's what actually Panda was going to give me, but...
Yeah. No, no, she's not that mean.
Yes, she is. I love you, Panda. Anyways, yeah, we're also on Facebook, so you can find us on there. You can also hit us up that way. Or also see what has been going on to the website, because not everybody will just be sitting on our website constantly, as much as we love you guys to. But also, we have to please request that you do subscribe to our YouTube. And that would be under the Electric Sisterhood. So anything that we put on YouTube that under Electric Sisterhood, please subscribe to that, and it'd be much appreciated. We could get so much more done if we got those 5,000 subscriptions that we're looking for. Yeah! I'll explain to you later, Anvil. Keep going.
To our friends at the Electric Sisterhood, Geekagro, The Vagabonds, TPSMMA.com, Rich Oak Photography.
MMA Victory, is that thing? Or what's that other one?
Western Mass.
MMAVictor.com.
Ah, there you go. Money.
Yes, which is our online betting. And I'll end it with that.
Okay.
Oh!
Now, if you excuse us, we got to go watch the rest of this Bruins game.
And then go off to the fights.
Yep. Let's see. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Bluonic.
And Anvil.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
We are
the Bastards.
Wise guy, eh?